San Diego State and FAU, Florida Atlantic University on one side, Miami and UConn on the other. What? A 9, a 5, a 5, and a 4. That's what we have left in the college basketball tournament. It is utterly remarkable. What do you make of it? What does it say about the future of the sport? Are we getting, I don't even know. Is it because of the portal? Is it because of NIL, which I don't think it is? I don't think NIL has had a negative impact on the game. I don't think it's had a negative impact on the best teams. Is it about one and done? Like, I think we're going to be grasping at things here. I do think this, and I don't believe this is a new development. We get seduced by the best talent. We get seduced by it. But I don't think it's the best way to win in college basketball. You need talent. Don't get me wrong. It's not always, though, the super NBA talent that wins in college. You need a mix of some. Rick Pitino used to talk about having lottery picks. You need a mix of that. But you need, I think, older players. And if you go back and you look over the last, we'll just say, decade, the teams that won have been older teams. Connecticut in 14, Duke in 15, Villanova in 16, Carolina in 17, Villanova again in 18, Virginia in 19. Older teams. We didn't have one in 20, right? 21, Baylor, older team. For the most part, older teams have won. Got to have talent, but for the most part, older teams have won. And that, to me, is a big deal. All right, I want to play something, and then we'll get to Lavelle Moten. I want to play this. I saw this interview, and Lavelle Moten has actually tweeted it out. And I don't know exactly when this is. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News asks a question. There is one of those giant Zoom call panels. And Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, our friend, asks a question about why it has been so uncommon for coaches to leave an HBCU basketball job, because it's a basketball, it was from the Field of 68 podcast series. Why has it been so uncommon for coaches to leave an HBCU job for a better job, a step up? I'm not talking about a step up to the Southland Conference, but to even a mid-major or a high-major job. And this is Chris. I don't know Chris's last name. No, Chad. I'm sorry. This is Chad. But Chad works at one of the search firms that is so popularly used to identify coaching talent. Here's Chad's answer to Mike DeCourcy's question about why don't HBCU successful coaches get elevated?
Again, these ADs, a lot of times they don't know what they don't know, right? Or they do know what they don't know, and they rely on a lot of people. I will say, correct me if I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong, you know, there's got to be a little hustle, a little self-promotion, a little marketing done, right? And the guys in the HBCU, they're not using an agent. They're not out there kind of putting their name out there. Like, it's a squeaky wheel in a lot of these deals where, you know, agents just wear me out about a guy. Okay, we'll look at him, you know, or you know, someone's made the effort. So a lot of those guys, what I tell you earlier about coming through here when they're recruiting or anything, haven't made the effort to reach out and really get to know us, right? So there's a hustle element there. Unfortunately, guys, it's not good enough to just be good at your job anymore, because there's a lot of good coaches out there. You got to be good. You also have to be connected and known, right? Because what I say earlier, thousands of jobs or thousands of coaches competing for tens of jobs.
All right, there are a lot of nice little catchphrases there, but that was largely word salad and BS. The first part was that, well, administrators don't know what they don't know. Well, that's why they hire you, the search firm. Right? Administrators who don't know the landscape hire you, the search firm, who knows the landscape, has identified the coaches. They don't self-promote enough. Okay. I don't think that's Lavelle Moten's problem. I'm not calling him a self-promoter, but he's got a social media presence, not to mention just an overall media presence. So if you are in college basketball and you are unaware of who Lavelle Moten is, then you are simply unaware of college basketball. Because I don't believe there's anybody working in college basketball that doesn't know who Lavelle Moten is. We talk about marketing. We talk about agents wearing you out. They haven't made an effort to get to know us. What exactly is the job of the search firm? You're supposed to know the candidates. It isn't their job. It sounds to me like Chad, and I don't mean to bash Chad here. I think Chad was unprepared for the question, as was Katie, who Chad threw it, who threw that question. It's like, hey, what do you think of this kid? We're not going to play Katie yet because Lavelle Moten is with us here. But I watched that video, Lavelle Moten, and two things jumped out at me. First is, if they don't know who you are, they have no clue who what college basketball is. And the other thing is, they disqualified their firms because clearly they don't work very hard if they have no idea who Lavelle Moten is. How are you, sir?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
Doing very well. That was first time I had seen that video. You tweeted it. I don't know how old that video is. Mike DeCourcy, who I'm very good friends with, who asked the question, seems to think that video is kind of old, which nothing has really changed anyway, so it's still pertinent. But have you found that to be the case when it comes to not just you, or maybe not you at all, but other coaches from historically black colleges and universities?
Well, I remember the conversation a couple of years ago, and I think it was when, if I ain't mistaken, I think it was during the time that everyone was, you know, in the house because of COVID.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody was podcasting and Zooming every day, you know, that sort of thing, right? And I really just think it got to a point where people had too much time on their hands because I kind of remember it in the fallback of it, but I never really seen the clip. People had just told me about it. And then the other day, someone sent it to me. And for the first time, you know, four minutes and 30 seconds on social media, that's an entire day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, none of our attention spans are built like that anymore.
Right. That's a podcast.
It's a podcast. I can't watch podcasts. Like, so I looked and I saw it was like 4 minutes and something. And I was like, they said, no, you just really need to watch it. And I watched it. And all I could say was, wow, at the end. And let's be clear, like, I would never comment on stuff like that. The only reason I commented on it, because Mike phrased the question, Lavelle Moten, right? So now right. It's personal. It's not just a general statement anymore. Yes. We're not talking about all the HBCUs or whatever. We're talking about Lavelle Moten. And it stung a little bit for Chad and what was the young lady's
Katie.
Name?
Katie.
Katie.
Yeah.
Right? It stung for them to say, I don't care. They don't have to know who I am. None of those things. I'm not tripping off any of those things. It just hurt because the negative connotations and the stereotypes that's associated with HBCUs, if we're being honest, and that's been the elephant in the room for so long, they basically repeated it.
Yeah.
They need to hustle more.
Yeah.
They need that market. They need to have a presence. Katie said, well, it ain't like we can read minds. They need to call us and let them know we're interested. Like, what?
Yep.
Right? And so they need to have a social media presence. Like, all of these things. And I'm going, like, is that the hill that y'all choosing to die in? Like, that's... And it was personalized, right?
Yep.
And so my thing is, my grandmother always told me, all you have in this world as a man is your word and your bond and your name, right? And so my name, I try to take care of it as best I can because, look, I know I'm not in the business where I can afford to make some of the mistakes that you've seen some of these coaches make in our profession throughout the years, and they sit out a year and come back and get a second chance. Like, I that's unrealistic for black coaches, period, right? It's pretty much unrealistic for another black coach to be hired at the same spot a black coach was fired from. Mm-hmm. But that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. It's just the negative connotations when you work so hard to, you know, create a positive image and just be a great person and be respected amongst your peers and contemporaries. And then someone just says something like this, well, they need to hustle more. They need to do this. They need to do that. And you know you've done all of those things times 10. And I just thought it was lazy. I found it disrespectful. And again, the only reason I commented on it because it was my name, right? And I'm just protecting my name, right? It's not a ploy for a job or, you know, and none of those things, right? Because I've turned down opportunity prior to, right? I've turned down higher jobs before, right? And so for me, it's always been about the fit. It's never been about the money, but it's always going to be about my name and making sure people respect it and it's respected throughout this country. And I just found that to be completely disrespectful.
Lavelle Moten is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. You and I have had the conversation. This goes back a while. It was about how so few HBCU coaches in either football or men's basketball have ever been elevated. What I found interesting was that the coach that Mike DeCourcy referred to in that question is white. It wasn't even a black coach from Hampton. He was a white coach. Right. And the reason why he got hired, and I'm not disparaging anything like that, but the reason he got hired was because he had the audacity to win a game in the NCAA tournament. I think they beat Georgetown that year.
Iowa State.
Oh, okay, Iowa State, right.
Iowa State.
But, I mean, they didn't hire Fang Mitchell after Coppin State won. I don't know, they beat Texas or somebody in the first round that year?
Yeah, they beat South Carolina and pushed Texas to the limit to go to the Sweet 16. Almost beat Texas, yeah.
You have an incredible memory, Lavelle Moten. But they didn't hire Fang, right? So it's because that guy won, and it brings me to this. And then I want to ask you about this tournament and this the culture of college basketball, you know, in general. But we hire coaches for the wrong reasons. And I'm not disparaging any coach that wins a couple of games out of nowhere in the NCAA tournament, and he's the hot coach and gets the next job. Whether it's Shaheen Holloway or maybe this Dusty May guy from FAU is going to get another gig, it's not about that. It's about we hire the guy who just won a big game rather than somebody who has built a program. And that, to me, is the mistake that administrators make all the time. Is that fair?
I think it is. And to your point, I think there's, if we're being honest, there's two different standards, right? And I don't want to call anyone's name in the coaching profession because it's only 300 of us, so we got a small fraternity, right? But there was a guy who said, if your last name was my last name and your father was my father, you would have been a I made the coach 5 years ago, right? Through deductive reasoning, I guess you can kind of guess who
that absolutely
that was or whatever. Right? So somewhere through that, but I've always been the guy, and I thought people in this world respected consistency more so than just being the hot guy at the time. And that's no disrespect to the guys that are hot and do something at that time, because that's extremely difficult too. What we've done here, and I can only really speak for myself, is that we've built the program, and unlike many in the country, we had to build it during a difficult transition where we went from Division II to Division I. I mean, I'm sorry, Division II to Independent to Division I, right? And no coach in America that I know of had to endure those bumps and bruises. It was going to be some trials and tribulations and some extremely difficult times, but we righted that ship. And over a course of time, we won 8 championships in 12 years, whether regular season or tournament, right? So, and not only that, I did the USA basketball thing 2 times, and we had an ESPN documentary, and, you know, I challenge any coach or anyone to find another coach that's done more in the community than what I've done, right? And so, again, going back to their point, when they're talking about marketing and being involved in networking, it's like, that's like shots in the ribs. It's like body blows when it just hit me in the ribs. I'm like, come on, like, that's fine. Don't hire who you want to hire, and that's fine. But don't defame the name of someone else to justify your reasoning and rationale for hiring. And that's the ultimate point. So, I think there needs to be people in place that look for consistency a little more, right? Mm-hmm. Because the way this thing is going, like, all you have to do is just get hot for 1 year, and that kind of trumps everything that you've ever done in your resume. Like, you can lose for 4 years, but just win the 5th, and now you can go get a hot job, right? And so, to each his own, that's their prerogative. They can hire who they want to hire. I'm not mad at that, and I'm not mad at anything. I just can't allow people to defame my name to justify their decisions that they make. That's fine. They can live with that, but don't throw LaVale. What LaVale Moton got to do?
Like, well, I mean, for that, you can blame Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, but he had the best intentions when he mentioned your name.
I love Mike. He's a great guy.
And he's a big fan of yours. I spoke to him about it today. Yes, clearly you need to hustle more, LaVale. All right, let me ask you one thing about this particular tournament, and I don't know why it's taken this long, but maybe it's because we've got San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, Miami, and UConn here in the Final Four, and people are going, what is going on? How much of what we see now is simply what we should have been seeing for the most part over the last almost decade, where older teams, apart from 15 when Duke won, apart from 12 when Kentucky won, pretty much all the other champions have been older, more mature teams. Is that the biggest reason or the biggest factor in success, or is it NIL or portal or whatever?
I think it's a combination of being older and NIL. Right. And I think a lot of those things are beginning to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because I don't care how good an 18-year-old freshman is. Right. 9 times out of 10, his body needs some development. He hasn't been in those situations. He don't have the necessary experience to get you out of a gym in front of 20,000 people on national TV, even though he's talented and a projected lottery pick or first rounder, whatever. A lot of times these 23, 24-year-olds, and you got to understand, these are COVID kids too, right? So they got an extra year, so they're really grown men across the board playing against 18-year-olds. Like, if you look at San Diego State, their roster and their bodies, man, these kids are physical, man. They've always guarded you and made it extremely difficult, but they're extremely physical. You look at what Tennessee did to Duke, like how physical that they were. And that's the difference between, they're not as talented, but they're just grown men. And so once you sprinkle in the portal with that, and then you sprinkle the NIL, like, people don't understand the NIL. It's just basically legal pay.
Yeah.
Right. Everything that used to be illegal is now legal, as long as it goes through a booster.
Right.
Come on now. What is that? Right. And so we've heard the stories for years. And now you don't have to hear those stories anymore, because now they can just put them on their tax returns and just openly and publicly, quote unquote, buy players. That's where we are in this game. And you just have to adjust if you're one of the 340 coaches in the Division I atmosphere. And that's it's difficult, right? I'll be the first to admit. But that's what we're experiencing right now. It's almost like the haves and the have-nots and the rich getting richer type of thing.
LaVale Moton, NC Central head basketball coach, I thank you very much for your time. We have to get together and have a longer conversation about the NIL and how the game has changed and all of that.
Absolutely, man.
I appreciate your time. Who's winning this Final Four?
I think from top to bottom, Connecticut has the best team. you know, it's been a lot of shock value to it because people aren't as familiar with San Diego State, or they may not be as familiar with Florida Atlantic.
Right.
But Miami. But the truth of the matter is, all of these teams ended the year in the top, ranked in the top 25. So that's how crazy of a year it was with college basketball. But from top to bottom, I watched UConn throughout. They haven't lost any non-conference games. They only just struggled a little bit in the Big East. I thought the Big East overall from top to bottom was the best conference this year. But once they got out the Big East, then, you know, they're up and running again, and Danny does a tremendous job up there. But from top to bottom, I think UConn has the most talent. But, you know, somebody got to see those guys with San Diego State because you got to score. You got to score them grown men. You got to score that basketball every time down the floor on the 5-on-5 setting, and that's not going to be easy. I love the guard play at Miami. In Florida Atlantic, I'm not even calling them a Cinderella because they're just flat out good.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, but I think Connecticut has the best team.
You're the man. I appreciate your time, sir. Best to your family. I'll talk to you soon.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, boss.
You got it. Lavelle Moten here. There is nobody I would rather talk to for hours. Hours. So it wasn't a great one. I mean, first of all, I shouldn't say it wasn't a great year. NC State won 20 ball games. They play in one of the best leagues, if not the best league in the country. Three ACC teams advanced to the Elite Eight. We'll find out if Virginia Tech can advance to the Final Four tonight. And Wes Moore, NC State women's basketball coach, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. How are you, sir? I hope things are good in the wake of, I know, a disappointing end of your season.
Yeah, you know, it was a real roller coaster. We had some big wins. I think we beat four of the teams that were maybe in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
With the three, we beat Notre Dame, Louisville, and goodness, somebody else. Notre Dame, Louisville, and Miami.
Right.
And then we also beat Iowa. And so we had some big wins. And then we had some not so good losses. And just like I said, up and down, weren't consistent, and, you know, we've kind of gotten used to being a top 10 team the last 4 or 5 years. So from that standpoint, it was disappointing, and, you know, we're licking our wounds and trying to reload a little bit. But, again, one of those years.
All right, so you guys played Iowa and beat them, and I'm going to use air quotes here. You held Caitlin Clark to just 45 points. I have never seen anything quite like her. How would you describe Caitlin Clark of Iowa?
Well, first of all, if she crosses half court, you better guard her.
Right.
Because she is very comfortable shooting from the half court logo. And I know everybody hadn't seen her, made think, oh yeah, I'm serious. It's unbelievable. Some of the shots she takes, you're just like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
In fact, in the post game press conference, the media, I think, were trying to reel me in to saying something. You know, they said, well, what do you think about the shots she took and shot selection and all that? Because, like I said, she was shooting near half court, and I looked down at the stat sheet. And I said, hey, she's shooting over 50% from the field, hey, keep shooting, you know. And I don't know if you compare her to, for us old school people, Larry Bird or something.
Wow.
But you know, just unbelievable what she can do with the ball scoring wise. She also, you know, picks up a ton of assists.
Yep.
I know she had double figures in assists last night. I know she was on the brink of a triple double.
No, she had it.
Did she get the last rebound? I wasn't sure if she got it or not.
She did.
But, and like you said, I mean, we didn't go into it with attitude, oh, let's let her get hers. I wish I could say we did, that was the game plan. But, well, we were fortunate. Their other really big-time scorer is their post player. They're big. She averaged 20 a game, and our post did a really good job that day and held her to 5. And so that's how we won. But you're right. I didn't have any of these opposing coaches calling me for a scouting report on how to slow Iowa down or how to slow Caitlin Clark down. So, you know, again, it was a great win on the road, and we had some people have some really good games that day. And so that's one it's a win that I won't forget, but she's also a player that probably none of us will ever forget.
I mean, this Caitlin Clark averaged 27.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, 8.5 assists this year. To me, she reminds me a little bit of Steph Curry, but not Steph Curry when he was at Davidson. She reminds me of right. Steph Curry today.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, again, obviously different sports, but as far as men and women's, but, you know, she has the size advantage on Steph Curry.
True.
In that regard. But, yeah, what he's done, I was at Chattanooga when Steph was at Davidson and they were in our conference. And what he has done with his career is truly amazing. You know, when I first got here, my video person came from Belmont, where he was their, grad assistant or something at Belmont men's basketball. And he told me one time, we stopped recruiting Steph Curry because we thought he was too small. And that's Belmont.
Right.
And now the dude may be the best player in the NBA, but, that's a good comparison. They both can shoot from anywhere, so probably a good comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I think that both players have essentially changed the way the game is viewed. I think Caitlin Clark will probably do that. I know you have already been impacted by the transfer portal. I know other schools in the league have been impacted by it. How much of a game changer has it been for women's ball?
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, you're seeing more parity this year than we've ever seen. I think part of that is, you know, the transfer portal. If a kid's not only not getting the minutes they want, if they're not getting the shots they want, someone else is the featured player in the offense. They can go to another school and, make mm-hmm. them better instantly. It's been a big adjustment for me. I'm used to recruiting high school kids, having them for 4 years, have them develop and get better. You know, that's what we just graduated a year ago, kids that were here 5 years,
right.
4 years, whatever. So before you could develop and grow as not only as an individual but as a team, and there's not a lot of that now. You try to develop a player – you're probably developing them for someone else because they'll probably leave and try it somewhere else the next year. And obviously they've hopefully gotten better and matured and are more ready for it. No matter what you say, it's still a big jump from high school to the ACC, you know, Power Five. And
right.
So it does take some adjusting, but, you know, now we're in the microwave era. It's got to happen now. And, so it's a challenge, that's for sure, good and bad.
Do you spend a lot of time recruiting your own players?
I think you do some, without a doubt. But, you know, I'm old school. I mean, I'm going to coach them up and coach them hard, and that's not always easy to do. You know, again, you're trying to help them get better. You're passionate about it. Yeah, that's part of it. But at the same time, like I said, a lot of times it has to do with roles as well and, you know, how they fit in the offense and what you're doing. And, you know, again, you may have a kid that starts every game, and we've seen some of this already this year in the portal. Kids started every game, but like I said, they want to be the featured person in the offense, so mm-hmm. they decide to go somewhere else. So.
Wes Moore from NC State is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Does it help in your recruiting if the target, the player, is a Dallas Cowboys fan?
Well, those are getting harder to find nowadays.
Oh,
you know?
Please.
when I was younger, man, I mean, yeah, Dallas was America's team, but now it's getting tougher. We hadn't won in a long time, Adam. Refresh my memory. Are you an Eagles fan?
No. I'm not an Eagles fan. I used to be a Jets fan, but I'm not a fan of any particular team anymore. I'm more of a I'm more of a fan of players than I am teams at this point. Are you?
Oh gosh, Adam. Here we go, Adam. Are you going to go in the portal too?
I pull for teams.
You know. So it is. I hear what you're saying, though. From an entertainment value, you like the individual players, but
it's just hard to be a fan for me. It's hard for me in my position. It's hard to be a fan of a team. So for instance, this is a true fact for me in my position. I am more easily a fan of people. Like, I'm not saying that I don't root for NC State women's basketball. But I root for Wes Moore, and I mean that sincerely. So
I need it right now. Thank you.
Okay, so that's me. Now, if you move on to the Las Vegas Aces, I may not root for NC State women's basketball at that point. I may just become a Las Vegas Aces fan. So
don't worry about that. I'm not going there. I'd get in trouble if I lived in Vegas. I mean, I go out there once a year for a week, and I get in enough trouble. So, I'm not going there. But I hear you, and I understand that. And I think that's what's really promoted all the NIL stuff, is there are a lot of fans like you that, you know, follow sports because of a star player or whatever, or maybe somebody they've, through your job, maybe you've built a relationship with.
Yes.
So I get that. I'm old school. I root for all the Dallas teams, you know. And so I'm getting ready for baseball season. I think the Rangers finally maybe they've spent some money and went out and got some players if they can stay healthy. So, I get it. I understand.
You took my picture. I'm still a Mets fan. I grew up a Mets fan. I can't give it all up. So I'm a Mets fan. And you guys took Jacob DeGrom. Hopefully he'll pitch a full season for you.
I know. It's what everybody's saying is, you know, can he hold up? But you're right. He's impressive. Mm. I've watched him a couple of times out at spring training on MLB.com or whatever. And he's looked good. They open up Thursday, and he's starting, obviously. But he's been limited somewhat. You know, he came to training camp and had a pain in the side or something. So he's been on a pitch count. He probably won't throw over about 65 or 70 pitches Thursday. So, but he's exciting. He's a great talent, that's for sure.
He's amazing. 65 or 70 pitches, that's good for about 8 strikeouts. Wes Moore, I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I will always be a Wes Moore fan, and we will talk again soon.
All right, Adam, thanks so much. Enjoyed it, and good luck to you, man. Good luck on opening day for the Mets.
Thank you very much. And to Jacob DeGrom and the Rangers as well.
All right. We need it. We'll take it.
All right, you're the best, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Adam, thank you.
God, I'm going to hurt my face from smiling this hour. Lavelle Moten, Wes Moore, doesn't get better than that.